Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Having technical difficulties here for some reason, which is a problem because we have a lot of appearance days to read about. Okay, right. Just 1 second. Just not a minute. Nothing worse than dead air. Okay, today is a wonderful day. We have the appearance days of four great devotees and the disappearance of another very, very great devotee. It's also Vaishanti Panchami, which is the first day of spring, which is might seem a little unusual, February 1st being the first day of spring, but it certainly is in India and in Florida. You can tell because all these azaleas are blooming. You know, this is spring here. So. It's the appearance day of Srimati Vishnupriya Devi, the Raghunandana Thakur, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and Kundan Gajaniti, and the disappearance of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And of course, these are all wonderful devotees, and we can associate with these devotees, and we can get their mercy by hearing about them on their appearance and disappearance days. I'm going to go through a couple of them quickly, and then spend a little more time reading about mostly the pastimes of Vishwanath, Raghunath Das, and Kundalini Gajaniti. Raghunandana Thakur, not so much, there may be some things known about him, but not so much in our scriptures. The 39th branch of the tree, the Chaturthi tree. His father was Mukunda. One small pastime, Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda if Raghunandana was his father or his son. Of course, he was his son, so it's like a trick question. And Mukunda replied that Raghunandana was actually his father because he was the spiritual teacher, even though he was his son. Of course, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi was the second wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya's first wife passed away. Vishnupriya was the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. It's not unfortunate, the pastime. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas very shortly after marriage. He was 24 years old, of course, and Vishnupriya, I think, was about 16 years old when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, so she bore the separation from him the rest of her life. Of course, she's associated closely with Satchimata, and of course, I've seen eternal pastime between Lord Chaitanya and his consort. So, okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Some of you may know he's one of my personal favorites, as writers and commentaries. Vishwanath wrote a lot about the process of devotional service, a lot about the association of devotees, avarads. These themes are very current in his writing commentary, and in many ways he seems very current, although he, you know, was in the 1600s, early 1700s, I guess that's a little more current than the Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago. So it seems as though Vishnupriya often addresses, you know, difficulties and issues with devotees in the process of making advances in Krishna consciousness. This is Srila Prabhupada did, but, you know, of course, some of the more recent commentators, you know, were very current. Srila Prabhupada always addressed how does this apply to us in our life? And I think Vishnupriya Thakur, in his own ways, did that to some degree. He also wrote with humor. There's a lot of humor in Vishnupriya's writing, or irony sometimes. He often gives sort of unique perspectives, as all the commentators do. They all give their own sort of unique perspective, while still basically same thing, but in different ways, to different audiences. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur wrote over 40 books some original books and many commentaries on other works. Some of his original works that we're probably most familiar with, including the Buddha Pandambani. That book's been available in English, and devotees have read that. Really, very, very nice little book. He's known probably most for his commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Samhita Sindhu. The translation that Gandhaswami has written on Bhakti Samhita Sindhu and for devotion has both his and Jiva Goswami's commentaries. Really nice. And of course, he wrote most famously his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, which are, of course, now translated completely by Gandhaswami. And of course, they're very, very wonderful and excellent. Particularly his 10th canto commentary, Prabhupada even commenting upon how wonderful those commentaries were. To give an example of how much he was revered as a commentary and how much he was utilized, I was looking in the Veda base, and just in the Srimad Bhagavatam section, Vishwanath is quoted 840 times. So in other words, Srila Prabhupada, and of course, I think even more so the later commentaries, his disciples in the 10th, 11th, and 12th cantos relied very, very extensively on the works of Vishwanath. So considered to be one of our foremost Vaishnava scholars and commentators. And not to forget, I don't think he's known so much as a songwriter, but he is the author of Guru Vastakam, which we see in the Mangalaika every day. So, you know, very, very, very important devoting a chart in our line. Srila Prabhupada advises us to study the commentary on Bhagavatam and others. This is from Prabhupada. He says, within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti, and many others, distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the serious student who do well, who tend to go through them to better relish the transcendental message. So Srila Prabhupada did expect us to read the commentaries of the great Vaishnava acharyas. There's also one story, this is in the Srila Prabhu, about how Vishwanath was a personal inspiration to Srila Prabhupada. That is interesting. This is a quote from Prabhupada. He's talking, I don't know if it's in a letter or a room conversation. He says, but I took that order of my spiritual master very seriously to go to the West and preach. But I did not think that I'll have to do such a thing. I was at that time a householder. This was arranging with Krishna. If we strictly serve the spiritual master, his order, then Krishna will give us all facilities. That is the secret. Although there was never, no possibility. I never thought I could. But I took it a little seriously, studying a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, in connection with one verse, and that is Bhagavad Gita 241, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, a.k.a. Hikarinandana. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his commentary that we should take up the words from the spiritual master as our life and soul. We should try to carry out the instruction, the specific instruction of the spiritual master, very rigidly without caring for our personal benefit or loss. So I tried a little bit in that spirit. So Prabhupada, how he was inspired by the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And gave him even more strength, and not that he needed it, but you know, he gave him more conviction. So here's a little bit on the life of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur took birth in the year between 1626 and 1638. There seems to be some disagreement. You notice that some of the acharyas we don't ever see their appearance, only their disappearance. I think this, I've never seen an appearance of Vishwanath because they don't even know exactly what year he was born. Most likely it was 1638. He lived up until 1708. We usually know when, obviously, when he disappeared. So he was about 70 years old. Probably 1638 or 1708. The Srimad Bhagavatam commentary was written in 1704. That's when he completed it. So, you know, up until his old age, he was extensively writing. He was born in the Nadia district of West Bengal in a place called the Seated Devagam. He went to live in the Mashuradabad district of West Bengal in Sayadabad. Is that, how close is that to Mayapur? He received mantra initiation from Radharaman Chakravarti. He lived for a long time in the house of his Gurudev, where he wrote many books. When Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakura lived in Nadia, he closely studied the scriptures, beginning with the study of Sanskrit grammar, poetry, and rhetoric. It said that even as a boy in school, he was an undefeatable scholar who could overcome anyone in arguing and debate. From an early age, he was indifferent towards family life. For the purpose of binding his son in the contract of family life, Vishvanath's father arranged for his marriage when he was very young. He remained a married man for only a short time. Soon he renounced his wife and home and went to live in Vrindavan. Anyway, they tried to get him to come back and he didn't go for it. After having come to Vrindavan Dham, Vishvanath took his residence in the Bhajan Kutir of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami on the banks of the Radhakund, where he lived with a disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj whose name was Mukundadas. There Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti made a careful study of the Goswami literature. In that holy place, he later wrote many commentaries on the books of the Goswamis. He's written many books, among them are following commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarta Darshini Tika, Bhagavad Gita, Udvala Malini, Nanda Vrindavan Champu, Rupa Goswami's Vigrada Madhava Natakam, Gopal Kapani Upanishad, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and his original works include Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, Mahakavya, Swapna Vilasa Mitra. I don't know if these are the best sellers. We've got to get all, you know, known to them. And then, I suppose they're, you know, Sanskrit. Aduri Kadambani, Stava Malalahari, Aishwari Kadambani. And, of course, he's also author of Sri Devastatam. The Diksha Guru Parampara of Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura is given as follows. So you can see it's about four generations after the Goswamis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Thakur, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Krishna Charana Chakravarti, Radha Raman Chakravarti, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And probably his most prominent disciples, actually Shiksha disciples, Baladeva Vibhushan. And there's different stories of pastimes involving Baladeva and him. He disappeared on Vasanta Panchami Day, which is first day, in the month of Magh. He was also known as the crest jewel of Vaishnavas because of his pure devotion, scholarship, and realized perception of Radha Gokulananda's intimate conjugal pastimes. Prabhupada actually comments that in the Bhagavatam 111, in Bhagavatam, talks about how he mentions Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakura's those commentaries and said that he's particularly expert on the Madhurya Rasa. Prabhupada said that. Now, some of this is subjective. This is a particular commentary, so, this time he said that some people think he's actually Rupa Goswami, but you don't know that, so I'm not going to say that's true. Among all the Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, only Vishvanatha Chakravarti comes close to matching Srila Rupa Goswami's profound realizations of the absolute truth. Again, that's a subjective opinion. I happen to agree with it. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur was the protector, guardian, and acharya during the middle period of 1600 to 1700. Of the historical development of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There wasn't a lot going on at that time. Vaishnavism, this was a few generations after the Chaitanya. So we have a few prominent acharyas that kind of held the parampara together and kept the Pacific line going. In a dream, Lord Sri Krishna ordered Vishvanath to make commentaries on Goswami's books. Immediately he started writing prolifically. Clouds would shield him from the sun whenever he sat to write. Once a torrential downpour flooded the area where Vishvanath was writing his Bhagavad commentaries. Miraculously, not a drop touched Vishvanath or his Bhagavad manuscript. Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakura wrote over 40 books in Sanskrit on the science of pure devotion. He also made the sweetest, most highly realized Rasagopikas or commentaries on Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the works of Srila Rupa Goswami, Kavitanapur, Narottam Das Thakura. His samadhi is in a Radha Gokulananda temple courtyard in Vrindavan. I just want to read a couple things as sort of samples of his writings. He wrote some very interesting things about offenses or aparas to devotees. Madhurya Kadambani says the first offense is to criticize and blaspheme the devotees. Blasphemy in this context means to be envious of, antagonistic toward the saintly devotees. He says the effects of offenses are, in spite of the fact that Bhava or Rati has appeared, the obstacles have not completely dissipated. Such persons are therefore classed as sadhakas. there still remains a trace of some serious Apparat, because the effects of Apparat are very strong and long-lasting. And this connection with even a trace of Apparat that generates suffering, Sadhya Bhakti, the perfectional state, cannot appear. That's from Bhakti Sangha Sindhya Museum. Now, going back to Madhurya Kambhani, here's the remedy to carry offenses. Vishwanath says, if one even accidentally commits this offense against a Vaishnava, he must bitterly repent on his low behavior. Just as a poison is counteracted by poison, similarly, the offender, having set aflame his spiritual life of blasphemy, must be purified in the fire of contrition. The offender must go and call to feet of the devotee he reviled and beg forgiveness until he was able to please the Vaishnava. Yet if for some reason he's unable to appease the devotee, then the offender must continue to serve him for many days in a way that will satisfy him. In case the offense is of such serious nature that the Vaishnava's ire remains unpacified, then the offender must strongly condemn his own abominable actions. And how shameful I blaspheme the devotee. With a heavy heart, the operati must then take complete shelter of the holy name and chant incessantly, knowing this to be his own fault. In the sixth canto, in the some very, very nice commentaries, in the story of Jamil by Vishwan Chakravarti, before he talks about different stages of chanting and chanting the defense, things like that, in the clearing stage, the non-boss stage. I'm not sure what they were, but there are the seven stages or eight stages of bhakti. He expands to 14 stages. And he says, while there are still offenses, we have to go through these 14 stages of devotional service. And here's a line I always like. He said, when we come to the offensive stage, there's two stages. One, chant Hare Krishna. Two, go back to Godhead. I think a little sense of his humor, that he puts, you know, anything. You know, once you do offenses, chant Hare Krishna, go back to Godhead. You don't have to worry about all those other stages. Here's a commentary from Bhagavatam 10.14.8. He says, a devotee understands that the happiness and distress he undergoes due to performing bhakti and committing aparads are special mercy from the Lord. And here's a really nice analogy I've used this before in class. It's like a father who sometimes makes his child drink milk and sometimes makes him drink bitter neem juice. Sometimes the father embraces and kisses his son, and other times he punishes him. The devotee accepts whatever happens to him as the arrangement of the Lord acting for his benefit. The devotee thinks, the Lord certainly knows what is best for me, even if I don't know. Karma and time will have no effect on a devotee, so this is Krishna's personal arrangement for me. Out of his mercy, Krishna sometimes gives me happiness and sometimes gives me distress, considering how to engage me in his service. So I think that's a very, very nice analogy and discussion about why devotees experience distress and suffering. And that theme is elaborated, particularly as Bhagavatam commentary, 10.88.8, chapter 8, and he writes about a 4-page commentary on this idea of why devotees experience suffering distress, and it's almost word for word in the BBT edition of the 10th chapter. Our authors have used almost this entire commentary, so it's really good to read. And see, I get a little idea of this tremendously deep insight and the way that he can so nicely explain these principles of devotional service to us. Okay. I'm going to continue on. Yes. Raghunatha, who of course is one of the six Goswamis. Sri Raghunatha took his birth in the village of Krishnapura, in the district of Hooghly. He lived from 1495 to 1571. So he's obviously a little younger, maybe generation, than Lord Chaitanya. But he did meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was 15 years old. In his childhood, Sri Raghunath Das studied at the house of his priest, Acharya Sri Balaram Das. Haridas Thakur was very merciful to Balaram Das and occasionally visited his house. At these times, Raghunath Das had the good fortune of relishing Thakur Haridas's association and listening to philosophical discourses from him. Sri Raghunath Das was the only son in the family of Hiranya and Gopadan, and there was no limit to the care and affection upon which they showered him. You should remember there's a famous pastime of Haridas Thakur, right? With his Is it his father and his uncle, Arayan and Govardhan, of Raghunath? And of course, that's when there's the famous talk where Haridas Thakur talks about Namabhasa, he talks about the powers of the holy name, and he's insulted by Gopavalcha Chakravarti, and of course his nose, his leper stain, his nose bald. Anyway, very interesting passage. The Raghunath Das is right there, that's in his home, where his father and his uncle's home where this is going on. So a close association with Haridas Thakur. He realized at a young age that material existence is temporary and a mood of detachment towards wealth, parents, and relatives began to grow within him. On hearing the glories of Sri Gauranga and Nityananda, he became extremely eager to have darshan of the lotus feet. When he heard that Sri Gaurasundara had taken sannyas and was leaving Nadia forever, he rushed madly to the home of Dvaitacharya and Shantipur to meet the Lord. Seeing Raghunath fall at his feet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that this was his dear and most eternal associate. And he embraced Raghunath firmly, crying, Sri Raghunath appealed to the Lord, I will also go with you. But the Lord replied, he would not take him along at that time, but upon his return from Vrindavan, Raghunath should, under any pretext, come to Nilachala to see him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchala, the sixth chapter, there's a narration of how Sri Raghunath Das was arrested by the Nawab's men and his subsequent release from the bondage of family life. In that chapter, there's also a description of the Panihati festival. There's another very long pastime where Raghunath gets the mercy of Nityananda, as well as Raghunath's pastime in Jagannath's glory with Sri Gaurasundara. Sri Raghunath used to reside at Sri Radhakund. At that time, Radhakund had not yet been excavated, but Raghunath often meditated upon how to beautify the queen. Once a wealthy merchant walked along the long, difficult road to Sri Bhadrat Ashram. With great devotion, he worshipped Sri Bhadri Narayan and offered a large portion of his wealth in charity. That night, Sri Bhadri Narayan appeared to him in a dream and said, you should go to the village near Vraja, named Arithagram, where you will find my devotee, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. To him you should deliver all your wealth. If he refuses to accept it, tell him I sent you and remind him about restoring Radhakund. The merchant happily returned to his home and then went to Vraja, where he met Sri Raghunath and explained everything to him. Astonished, Raghunath gave him permission to restore both Radhakund and Shyamakund. Raghunath Das Goswami was always engaged in worshipping Sri Radhagovinda within his mind. One day in his meditation, he prepared and offered sweet rice to Sri Radha and Krishna. In great happiness, they and the gopis ate the sweet rice, and he accepted their remnants. While he was honoring the Lord's prasadam, he was filled with intense love and ate slightly more than what he was accustomed to. This is all in his mental, right? In his mind. The next day, from morning till late afternoon, his door remained closed, causing the devotees some concern. After they knocked repeatedly on his door, he finally opened and they saw him lying down. My health is not good, he explained to Sri Das. The devotees were unhappy and immediately sent word to Sanatana Goswami in Mathura. Upon hearing the news, Vallabhacharya's son, Sri Vithal, sent two doctors to see Raghunath Das at Radhakund. Seeing his condition, the physicians insisted that Raghunath Das's illness was the result of eating too much sweet rice. The devotees were dumbfounded by such a suggestion, but eventually they understood the mystery. The worship of Raghunath Goswami was really wonderful. Kavi Karnapur has written in the Gaura Gopadesh Deepika that Sri Raghunath was Rasa Manjari and Krishna Lila. According to some other persons, he was Rati Manjari or Bhanu Madhava. At any rate, he's a Manjari Gopi in his eternal existence. Raghunath Das wrote many books such as Stavamala, Dhanacharita, Lukta Charita, etc. So, of course, one of the great six Goswamis of Vrindavan, many, many pastimes around him. Chaitanya Charitamrita has wonderful pastimes, the Panihati Festival, etc., worth reading. Okay, Pundarik Vijayaniti. No, I better get through this. We'll see if people want to add any other pastimes. Okay, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 10:14. Pundarik Vijayaniti, the third big branch, was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu But in his absence, Lord Chaitanya himself would sometimes cry. In the Gauri Gopagona Desha Deepika, the Pundarik Vijayaniti is described as the father of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore treated him as his father. Pundarik Vijayaniti later became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit and an intimate friend of Sri Ramadas. Gadadhar Pandit first misunderstood Pundarik Vijayaniti as an ordinary pounds and shillings man, but later, upon being corrected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became his disciple. We're going to read that last time. Another incident in the life of Pundarik Vijayaniti involves his criticizing the priest of the Jagannath Temple, for which Jagannath Prabhu chastised him personally by slapping his cheeks. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat Pancharita, chapter 7. Okay, I'm going to read the pastime between Pundarik Vijayaniti and Gadadhar Pandit. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but a little bit more elaborate, and this is more from Chaitanya Bhagavat. After hearing the wonderful qualities of Gadadhar Pandit, Vijayaniti was very pleased to meet him. The great personality, Sri Pundarik Vijayaniti, sat like a prince, and there's a long description of his opulence. As he followed the life of pure devotional service, he looked as charming as Cupid himself. Those who did not know him would consider him a prince, as everything about him and around him gave the impression that he was a man of easy and comfortable life given a pleasure. When Gadadhar Pandit saw these luxurious items and a general atmosphere of materialistic life, became suspicious. Since Gadadhar was a fully renounced soul from his early childhood, naturally some doubt regarding the character of Pundarik Vijayaniti entered his heart. He thought, what sort of Vaishnav is he, surrounded by so much finery and lavish things? Hearing about his devotional mood, I developed great respect for this person. But now upon seeing him, it's slowly giving way to doubt and suspicion. Mukunda understood the mind and heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Thus he took it upon himself to reveal the true nature of Pundarik Vijayaniti. By the special mercy of Lord Krishna, Gadadhar Pandit would be allowed to receive everything. Nothing would remain unknown to him. In a very sweet voice, Mukunda began to sing a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the glories of devotional service. Quote, alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to the she-demon Putana? Putana was unfaithful and always hankering for the blood of human children. With that desire in mind, she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast and to come to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. As soon as these words concerning devotional service entered his ears, Pundarik Vijayaniti began to weep. Tears of ecstatic love swelled in his eyes, rolling down his face profusely like the streams of a Ganga. Simultaneously, all the symptoms of ecstasy manifested on his person. He wept, trembled, rolled, horripilated, which means getting goosebumps, roared, and finally fell into an unconscious state of ecstasy. Then suddenly regaining consciousness, he said in a loud voice, speak, speak, and again fell down to the ground. He cried out, O Krishna, my Lord, my soul, my very life, you have made me hard-hearted like a stone. He lamented loudly, hideously crying out, I have been deprived of the Lord's association in his most merciful incarnation. Amazed at what he had witnessed, Gadadhar Pandit began to worry, thinking, what inauspiciousness has overcome me to make me think in such an offensive manner about this great personality? It would be difficult to find another pure Vaishnava like him anywhere in this entire creation. Yet today, I have been offensive, and the extent of my offense can only be mitigated by your mercy. You must be merciful to me and purify my heart. All the devotees of the Lord who have surrendered to by the process of devotional service have accepted the shelter instructions of a guide. Yet I do not have such an instructor. So I have decided to take shelter of Pundarik Vijayaniti and follow devotional service under his guidance. I shall counteract all my offenses to him by becoming his disciple. Pundarik Vijayaniti smiled and said, be assured that I will do as you request, for by the Lord's mercy it is my great fortune to meet a person who is like a precious gem. Such a disciple may be found only with the result of many lifetimes of pious activity. Overjoyed, Gadadhar Pandit offered his obeisances and took leave of Pundarik Vijayaniti. Gundangara heading straight to meet Lord Gaurachandra to happily receive the news of Kunu Vijayanidhi's arrival. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. I'll stop at that point. And in a few minutes, if there are any questions or thoughts, or if people have any other stories, yes. In the back here.
Just read that Kundalini was crying out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, you have made me hard-hearted." Something like that, right?
Yes, something like that.
And I'm thinking, I mean, is that basically equivalent? I mean, I know he's out of his humility, but you know, it just seems so like equivalent to saying, "Oh Lord, you've made me sin, commit the worst sins possible," which makes the heart hard. Do you understand what I'm asking?
In other words, why would you say to Krishna, "You've made me, given me a bad quality"?
Hard-hearted.
I can't answer that. Obviously, he's a pure devotee, and so he's obviously covered, you know, by Yogamaya, in a sense, to have these doubts stuff in it. And of course, you know, Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani, and Kunu Vijayanidhi is Vishvabhanu, so it's actually the father and daughter relationship. So, in other words, normally he would have known that, you know. But in other words, he had to be covered a little bit. So you could say Krishna made him hard-hearted, covered him so that they could have this pastime, and he could really, in a sense, it's a way of glorifying Kunu Vijayanidhi and showing his glories. That's the best answer I can give. Okay, Michelle? Mm-hmm. No, I guess I missed that one. No, I don't know anything about Saraswati Puja. Is anybody? No, is it, I don't know if it's an appearance or disappearance or just a time when she's worshipped. What is it? The appearance of Saraswati? I don't see that in all these evidence. Okay. All glories to the goddess of learning. That's Saraswati, yeah? Get the mic.
Lord Brahmaji, his wife is Saraswati. Prabhupada says that. And then also this Saraswati has an origin called, there is a famous verse. It says, "Bhagisha jasya badane, Lakshmi jasya bakshasi, jasya sridaya sambit, kumishinya ham bhaji." That the goddess of learning resides on the Lord. The Krishna's face, Krishna's body has all the potency within. In the heart is the Samvit potency, the Saraswati Devi.
Okay.
So that's, and the material world as a Brahma's wife.
So is Saraswati an expansion of Lakshmi?
Saraswati is expansion of Sarup Shakti.
Okay, directly there.
Yeah. Well, before we recite Bhagavatam, every day we pray to Saraswati Devi. Narayanam Namaskritam Narancheva Naruttamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. We always pray to Saraswati Devi.
So our source of knowledge is this is the potency of Krishna.
Yeah. And Mahaprabhu, when Keshava Kasmiri came to Navadvipa to challenge him, and he was a staunch follower of Saraswati.
Mm-hmm.
And Saraswati came in the middle of the night and says, "What do you want?" He said, "I defeated all over the world except this Nimai Pandit." Said, "I cannot stand to take a victory in front of my husband." "Husband? Narayan?" So yes, this is Lord Chaitanya's Narayan.
Yeah. Isn't it also described that it was actually Saraswati who covered his knowledge, so he made those mistakes?
Yeah.
She made him make the mistakes, and then she revealed to them the identity of their children.
Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, actually, never done after that previous life. That they all got their perfection in Navadvipa, all four acharyas. And Nimbarkacharya became, and he was so overwhelmed when Lord Chaitanya appeared. And he expressed his feeling to serve him. He said, when I appear, you can come and defeat all over the world, and then come to me, and then I'll defeat you. This way you can serve me. Thank you.
A little bit about Saraswati, which I unfortunately overlooked. Oh, did you? Okay, that's one of them.
What he had done, as he was told. Yes. Then Mukunda asked him to bring some of the prasadam. Raghunandan replied, prasadam? I offered everything just like you told me, and Gopinath ate everything. So what should I bring you now? Mukunda was completely taken aback. This boy is not naughty, and is always accustomed to speak the truth. I doubt if he could have eaten everything. I wonder what actually happened. Musing on this matter in this way for some time, on another day his curiosity was so stirred that he again requested Raghunandan to offer bhoga to Gopinath on that day. On this day, however, having gone out of the house, he again came in by another way, and he remained hiding in one place. Raghunandan was very happy to be able to serve Sri Gopinathji again, and brought everything into the deity room. As before, he again very insistently persuaded Gopinath to take his meal. As Gopinath had eaten half of a ladu, he espied Mukunda peering out from his house. He didn't try to cover up the fact that he had eaten what he had, but neither did he eat any more. Seeing all this, Mukunda was completely immersed in ecstatic love and picked up his son and put him on his lap. He extolled his virtues in a voice trembling with ecstasy, all the while torrents of tears of joy falling from his eyes. Even today, those who are greatly fortunate can still see that half-eaten ladu in Gopinath's lotus hand. Thus, Sri Uddhava sings the glories of Raghunandan, who is non-different from Madan.
That was a wonderful pastime. Where was that from?
This is in this time is Irish, I'm not exactly.
Doesn't sure. Have the source. Right?
But it's no. It says that that he's the son of Mukundadas,
yeah.
The brother of Narahari Sarkar Thakur and Madhavadas.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why Mukunda said that Raghunath was actually his spiritual teacher because of that incident, and he could see that his son was of such a greatly elevated quality. Thank you. Any others? Last call? Okay, thank you all very much. I'll give you a call.